But I'll tell you how it works. Inevitably, these things are fluid through the course of the weekend. So by Sunday, you're setting a new agenda anyway. So maybe, does it make sense for us to spend any more time now on this, on the details of this?
No.
Dave, I have a question, but isn't the PMB voting on this on Friday? So they may still make further
changes. In general, what we've done is we've proposed in outline form. Like we said, for example, the thematic discussion will be this. Mm-hmm. We'll use Friday for this. So the motions that would be coming are of the form of, we're going to spend Friday morning executive session, Friday afternoon on the ED search in executive session, and the basic areas. So Saturday we'll be doing staff reports, followed by the budget, followed by the...
No, I realize that, but I'm saying that since I've been on the board, the national board has made changes anyway, so it wouldn't even be at the PMB meeting. So if you and Greg can produce it by Friday, and we can...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I don't think it's appropriate for the PMB meeting to be debating whether items are 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 45 or whether, you know...
Right, I agree, but nevertheless, the coordinating committee is tasked with making a recommendation regarding the agenda. The PMB will vote on it on Friday, right? It shouldn't be a lengthy thing because you can give the same speech,
right,
which I agree with.
The board is not approving the agenda at that time. What the board is doing is approving whatever the coordinating committee recommends apropos the agenda.
I realize that. I'm just saying, so the revised agenda you'll be sending out by Friday anyway, right?
The reason I'm hedging here is because I don't know if I have time. But, yeah, okay, fine.
Or let Greg do it. He's taking notes. He's doing
I'm taking notes. I'll have it in the email to you, Dave, before this meeting is over, and you can tweak it as you choose.
Thank you.
Great.
That's all I ask.
So is there any objection to proceeding that way?
Move the agenda.
Let's move the agenda, and we're right on time, actually exactly 1 hour. So the next item is 20 minutes on the contracts policy, and Greg sent you all around the text of the policy. The policy, the most important areas are that the boards are supposed to know about and see the contracts that involve intellectual property issues and contracts over $30,000 before they're entered into. And what I'm wondering is whether that's been happening at the local level and even at the national level. Are there any contracts that are on the horizon? And have there been any that maybe should fall into this category of, yeah, that's a contract involving intellectual property. But mostly my focus is local stations. Is this happening at our local stations? Are the executives aware of it? And are they at the local station? Are the managers actively conscious of it and acting proactively on it?
This is Wendy. I would, at our station, I don't know that there have been any contracts like that anyway, but I can tell you that I, as a PNB member, forgot about the contracts policy. I, as a coordinating committee member, wasn't thinking about it either. So when you say any contract, what did you say, over 30,000?
Yeah.
It's the annual aggregate amount, So if you're signing a contract to pay somebody $3,000 a month, that's a major contract.
Any employee?
No, not employee. Any standard employment contract doesn't fall into this category, although
okay.
I don't know whether Lonnie thinks that it should, given our concern about staff expansion, but I think there are other mechanisms that deal with that.
Yeah.
Ms. Jimmin?
Well, I don't think
yeah.
that we've had any, but I'm glad to be reminded of this thing.
Sarf?
I was just wondering, is there something that raised the flag somewhere, or how did it come about?
Well, the truth is that after having spent a year and a half and recognizing this is going to be my last in-person PMB meeting ever and never having seen the policy actually in action except on a couple contracts at the national level, I wanted to be sure it was actually working, because when I've raised, it's actually relevant to the digital distribution thing, because basically a lot of our station, Well, actually, no. The thing that really triggered it was the Sound Minds thing. When I was reminded of the fact that KTFA had given was getting rid of a lot of recordings, and that the Sound Minds archives that Charles Amarkanian runs actually has those rights. It's Other Minds, Other Minds. And it occurred to me that right now, as we go into the online distribution issues more and more, this issue of contracts with intellectual property components of them become more and more important. Also, the archives itself as it enters into contracts, almost always there are distribution rights and intellectual property rights issues involved with it. And I don't know if we're seeing what we're supposed to be seeing, and it seems to me that that's one of the most important things the board can do is look at its major contractual agreement.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead.
Yes, one of the things that I was hoping we would get to for the September meeting, but it's clearly, it's not feasible, but I hope the next board gets to, is that they have one in-person PMB meeting where they have the LSV chairs, and that in advance, the questions of the role of the LSB and their familiarity with some of the PMB policies, such as contracts, are reported on. And I think it's really important because I get the sense that the LSBs are out there as kind of like satellites, and they feel like they have to create all of their own policies and are often not aware of these because we don't address them often enough in our PMB meetings. But this is an important one because as we go into this budget phase of each station, how contracts are looked at, if they are looked at, become really important, because here I know that on occasion when things have slipped by, it can cost you a huge amount of money. And if you get a different vendor, it saves you a huge amount of money. So it does become really important. And I think that all of us have been somewhat lax about this. And this would be the time.
Did we hear from Greg and Lonnie about their thoughts about whether this is, or their awareness of whether this policy is A, broadly recognized, and B, broadly followed?
Yeah, then put me on the stack again, please.
Well, I think Lonnie has something to say about this, but I would say at the local level, probably not broadly understood. I think that they know somewhere along the line, but they don't really feel that the managers don't necessarily feel compelled to report, at least to us anyway, each contract that they sign. They're also, the policy itself is not complete. If you read it in total, it said it was supposed to be revisited after 6 months, that there were outstanding issues such as union issues, that it was a work in progress. And so I think that that's an issue as well. Nationally, we've kind of bypassed the process in a certain way by bringing important contracts directly to the board. You know, the Democracy Now! And digital distribution contract could have been dealt with by the coordinating committee, but they were dealt with instead by the board.
Lonnie?
Well, I agree with what Greg was saying. We still have some fuzzy parts to this policy. But that said, one solution is if we had a finance meeting, which you had orientation for new board members, and had a status report at the same time on the status of the contract policy, that might be something to look at, because you would have to get a report from the GMs on what contracts are in place and what is their status and whatnot, and then bring all that material together in the context of wanting to give orientation for new board members around not only the contract policy, but on other critical policies in the context, say, of an orientation on finance at Pacifica. That might be a way of not only finding out what's going on, but addressing the issue in the forward circumstance. It is not as tight as we'd like it to be. And you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, well, in terms of knowing things, one of the things that I thought of is we should ask the auditor during the course of the audit to specify whether they're all contracts that they're aware of that meet the terms of the policy, so we can just see what's happened over the last couple of years.
Dave?
Yeah, sir.
Are the auditors, are they supposed to look at if our policies are being followed?
No, absolutely.
I don't know about
if
that.
They, Yeah, any, like Lonnie's always saying, you know,
Lonnie,
we need these motions for the auditors because they look at whether we were authorized to do the spending.
Well, you know, we do need to, speaking of which, we do need to pass at the September 4th meeting financial policies and procedures manual. The audit committee will be bringing it forward. And that is where one place where we're trying to get at these issues of monitoring, of contracts, and of handling various financial issues. That will be an important first step. And that will give us, the board will be able to see what we, in fact, are planning to do in the way of monitoring how finances go. But I think if they did, they'll charge us extra money. I'd have to get a quote. They don't specifically monitor every contract. They handle mostly the large ones, like leases on buildings and leases that are amortized. But they do check it. But they check it. But to do what we're suggesting might be to go down below, you know, 30,000 and above, or 30,000 and below, whatever we would come up with. I'll find out what they feel they can do and how much it'll cost.
Do you remember I'm on the stack, Dave?
Oh, I completely forgot, Wendy.
That's okay. Okay, so one thing that I'm finding this really valuable for is just understanding the different motions that have been passed by the PNB. You know, we change out every year, and no, it's not all of us that change out every year on the PNB, but it's a significant number. And for the people that are on the PNB, it's quite a lot of work just to be on the PNB and keep up with everything. And so it would be so helpful if we had minutes of the meetings of the PNB. And then since we change out so often, you know, we need to tell people what kind of motions we already have in effect. And I know we've done that. But there should be a place where we could just go look at them real easily that's not WBAI.net. And so I have a question. To one other part of that, you know, when our chair was on leave of absence and I was the vice chair of the coordinating committee and called a meeting and felt like we should be continuing the once-a-month coordinating committee meetings, one of our members said, yeah, but our only job is to deal with the agendas for the upcoming meetings, and I didn't think that was quite right. I knew there was a conduct policy and some other things that we had to do, but so it would be really helpful to be reminded because we're also overextended. And then my question is, does this policy relate to ongoing contracts and renewing ongoing contracts? Like, for instance, KPFT pays a considerable amount of money each year to PRI for distribution of BBC and another program called This American Life. It's $20,000 a year, I think, not 30, but if it was 30, does this policy apply to renewing existing contracts?
No.
The way it's written, it's a little ambiguous. The intent was that it's for any time you enter into a new kind of contract, so if the terms of a contract change. But the way it's written, it just says if it's over 30,000, it should be looked at. That probably needs to be fixed. The idea is you shouldn't review every new execution of something. But
yeah,
if you change contract terms, changing things like distribution rights, that's something boards should be aware of.
Yeah.
That's a big one. And I'm not aware of it, you know, if Rob Robertson, that consultant, does look at intellectual property contracts. That's big. That's huge. That really affects a number of people. We ought to single that out to have a look at it. And
well,
the affiliates are looking at contracts with BBC. That is huge, too.
Yeah.
And
this had been in place, that Other Minds thing would have been something that a board would have reviewed before that content was turned over.
Yeah. Maybe we could focus on that, because I think that in the long term, those are critical ones that affect our financial future. In terms of dollars, that intellectual property, distribution rights, contracts with an entity like BBC definitely should be reviewed and work, because that is where our content is, of course, our product, and it's critical that those be looked at carefully. We're even, you know, working with archives.org where content is being turned over. Contemplated. So I would single those out and maybe have it be a part of the distribution discussion.
What is the national exec's national office's policies about ED and CFO review of locally executed contracts that concern distribution rights? And also, apropos the archives, can the unit managers enter into contracts right now under existing policy without your review that involve distribution rights and intellectual property rights?
Call it programming.
Well, it's murky. My answer would be I wouldn't necessarily be told or know about it. True. And we do need to look at that. Everything from, a programmer decides to sell CDs on a website. I could go on. You know what I'm getting at. Not only rights, but actual distribution programming produced by the network. So there's an area to be worked on.
Okay, well, I just wanted to put it on our radar. I don't know if anybody wants to do anything more than we've just done or make any motions, but I did think it was important, and I'm hoping by the end of the year and the end of my term that we get a little more clarity so we have a functioning policy.
May I make a recommendation?
Me too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, if we can forward the policy to our LSV chairs.
So you know that's been done repeatedly.
Well, I know, but it hasn't been done this year. This is the first time I have seen it this year, and every year we get a new chair, or most of us get new chairs.
Send it to the GMs and the PDs and the PNB and the LSBs.
Yeah.
That should cover it.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. That's it.
Who's going to do that?
I will make sure. The LSB chairs, managers, who else do you want?
The PNB.
PNB. Yeah, sure.
I said something else.
LSB chairs?
Mostly the GMs is who I wanted to go to.
Yep.
Also, I think Greg and others have done a really nice summary of some of the PNB policies. That is,
yes.
And that should go as well because they need to know that kind of background information as well.
But what happens is when you send the whole packet, people don't catch specific items.
Yeah, that's true.
Can I ask a question? Mary, you're the PNB secretary. Is there a place where people can go and read the motions passed by the PNB?
Yeah, there is, and I just recently got the password. It just recently was given to me that I can do this. I put a couple of things on, and I'll be putting more on in the next week or two.
And we can get some minutes from the PNB meetings passed?
Yeah, I'm going to put on the ones that were... Well, they've all been approved, I think, or almost all, so that they'll go on up until... I have the ones from 2006 that are not there, and then all the ones from 2007.
I think at this point, even if they haven't been approved, it would make sense to just put them up as draft.
Well, I will put them up if they're draft, but I think that we have approved them, I think.
Well, we need to know what we did at our last few meetings, even if they haven't been approved.
I didn't get it. The site hasn't been that far along until pretty recently, but now Pete did give me there is that place. And,
email to ourselves would be great, too.
Well, that's been done. I can email them all over again, but nobody ever reads them when I email them. So it's good to have them.
Is Ray?
Look.
Thank you.
Is Ray trying to be heard? Is that your voice, Ray, I'm hearing? No?
Yeah,
okay.
Ray said
we've
got to move on.
Well, I'm just wondering, because Wendy, are you asking... You want me to send them to... I'll be glad to do that.
I don't think I've seen the minutes from the meeting in L.A.
I think I've sent all that out, but I'll go and send... want some more?
I know. I'm so sorry, but...
Not a problem.
Okay.
I can do that. I may not be able to do it right away. I'm going to be in a different location as of tomorrow, and I don't know what kind of connectivity I'm going to have, but...
Are we
through? We're 3 minutes away from time certain. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add before we shuffle out the door?
No.
Well, this is Wendy.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Could
you were wrong, Lydia. Wendy does.
I don't think we need a motion on this, but now that we know that the PNB will be meeting in New York in January, let's make sure that we choose a date for that at... Can we add that to the immediate? Well, I guess we can't add it for Friday.
What, please?
No,
I want to know what date the PNB meeting will be in New York, and I want the national office I'd like the local station there to start looking at locations for New York in January.
Yeah.
Very good point. Greg, can you add that to our agenda for Friday night in the opening session, the very first things where we approve the agenda. Can you add the scheduling of the next meeting?
You're talking about the agenda for what, for this Friday night are you talking about, or for the PNC?
No, for the in-person meeting.
Oh, you just want something added? Well, I just sent you that list. Why don't you add it to the version
okay.
you have?
Will do.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
So move.
I'll move.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks.
Have a good evening.
Bye. Bye. Okay.